everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with John Couch, my friend, engineering and producing our program. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, April 27th, 2020. Safe distancing right here in the studio. I am seated alone. John's on the other side of the glass, so we've got it all together. But at the same time, we're bringing people together from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback with KVOI.com to get that live stream. We may be headed for the hottest temperature ever recorded in the month of April on Thursday, 104 degrees. Wow. While that is not necessarily good news for those that really don't like heat this early, I do have a piece of good news. No new CV cases. No new virus deaths. I should say there have been new cases, but no new virus deaths for the first time in a month. And that indeed is good news. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with our Monday political face-off featuring our team of commentators. This week we have Bruce Ash. I can't say that Bruce is seated to my right, so I'll just pretend he's on the telephone line, the right side of the telephone line. He is in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And we have Dr. Don Jorgensen, who is on the left side of my phone. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Hopefully, we'll get you guys back in the studio here very soon. It is very difficult to do kind of one of these debates telephonically, but we are carrying on, of course, with the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. During the crisis, Moe's got creative. People thinking out of the box. That's what you have to do now these days. Moe said, okay, I'm going to shut the door. Door's locked. However, call me. Let's do a one-on-one appointment. 795-8226. It's been very successful. You call ahead. No interruptions. No other customers. Mo will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door. He will coordinate if he has to, and he will be happy to do it, a virtual design session. Mo's Gallery, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226, and on the web at moesgallery.com. Don, let's begin with you. How are you? Your business is very much person-to-person oriented. You travel this country doing different teachings. How has this affected your business, Don?
What business, Bill? That's the short answer. I do. I do a lot of speaking around the country, and I do consulting on site with mental health and addiction programs, and there's zero happening. The bright side of that, as you know, I just took a fascinating trip in the midst of all this, and I'd been thinking for a while about writing a book, and the topic and subject appeared, and so that's what I've been doing. So I'm making the best use of the time and staying out of my wife's way while she's doing her things, and all is good. And I can't complain compared to what millions of other people are dealing with.
So the book would be about the Antarctic trip?
In the midst of the coronavirus outbreak, and what that meant, as you had mentioned, because we communicate a little bit, you know, I left, as I said, I left one world, spent time in another one down there, and came back to a completely different world.
Yeah. Indeed. Bruce Ash, has this impacted your business?
Well, thanks for having us on the show today, Bill.
You're welcome.
I would say that in some respects, yes, we are landlords for about 1.5 million square feet of retail, commercial, and industrial space here in Arizona and elsewhere around the country. And we have started to do a fair amount of rent deferrals or rent paybacks at a later time with our merchants and our users. from the standpoint of new leasing, really nothing is happening. But surprisingly, in one of our shopping centers in New Mexico, it looks as though we're leasing a 2,500 square foot location to an auto detailing company. So, you know, there's still life that's out there.
Yeah.
And we continue to do business. We operate about 4,000 rooftops worth of HOA, homeowner associations around Tucson. And, you know, the work that we do is just as busy in the middle of the Wuhan virus as it is any other day.
Yeah, you have to get very creative, and that's what I was pointing out about our friend Bruce Ash Moe decided, hey, I can, he and his lovely daughter Corinne, two very creative people, we can do one-on-one appointments, and so far it's gone well, getting them hopefully to the point where we can have him open up very soon.
Sure, and you know, most anybody who knows, having done business with Moe like you and I, built through the years, your work is with them, you know, one-on-one, even when there's no restrictions. You know, you're almost always 5-6 feet away from them because there's sort of a deep tabletop that you're working over, and you're looking at things sometimes a bit from a distance because you want to be able to visualize how it's going to look on your wall. So, yeah, Mo and Corinne are doing a great job.
Don, let's begin with you. The big question, the pressing question of the day, to open or not to reopen, and each state is having to deal with this. The current restrictions in the state of Arizona will expire presumably Thursday at midnight. Don, is it too soon to open Arizona?
Well, it depends on what criteria. If you go according to the White House's criteria, which I understand may be changing again, the answer is yes. Even the White House said that you should have 14 days of declining cases before opening, and that isn't the case in Arizona. Looking at different models that are out there, University of Washington has a model that a lot of folks are looking at. Even ASU came out with a model. And the soonest on any of those models, realistically, would be May 15th. The issue here is, as you know, the crisis keeps getting framed as a choice between saving lives or saving the economy, and it's really a false choice. We know the only way really to save the economy is to take all the steps that will save the lives, which is, and those steps have been both public health experts are asking for with regard to testing and contact tracing and isolation where needed, and have a coherent plan for what kind of businesses should open and how and when. And we don't have that. So essentially, the result of this all is a science experiment where these states that are opening up are going to demonstrate what is going to be the result. Is there going to be a huge uptick again in cases or not? And we don't know. And you know, this isn't a political issue here. I always think about the quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist, and to rephrase it a little bit, you know, science doesn't care if we believe in it or not. We're going to see what happens.
Bruce Ash, do you see it as a political issue?
Well, the left has made it a political issue, because when you consider what their position is, until everybody is tested, there's really no way to safely return people back to work. They view this whole issue as either you're going to quarantine or you're going to die, or in certain cases, like where Governor Cuomo replied to somebody, or you're going to kill me. And it's really not that simple. And look, we didn't know what we didn't know about this thing 60 days or so ago. We're learning about it daily as time goes by. There will be far more people that die from the regular flu this year than die from this Wuhan virus. And, you know, the question is, will we continue to keep people under what really amounts to the house arrest and businesses locked down by government restrictions until everybody gets tested and until, you know, there is absolutely no chance that this thing is going to reoccur? Well, if that's the case, it's going to be a long, long time before we're back to business as usual. And I'm not just talking about business as usual in the economic sense, but in the social sense as well. And you can see even here in Tucson, outbreaks, you know, not necessarily in the city, certainly in the county areas, but also some areas in the city where restaurants are beginning to, and different merchants are beginning to break down with civil disobedience and opening up their businesses. I don't necessarily endorse that, nor would I give anybody that advice to do. But you can see people are just there. They got cabin fever and they're anxious to get out and be with other people and return their lives as normal as possible. And at the end of the day, we know that there are tons more people who have actually come in contact with the virus and either are asymptomatic or have very slight impact from the virus. And we're building our resistance as a population as we go, so that if we are out in the open, we're going to have less of a chance when the flu does come back in the winter. We're going to have less of a chance of a severe spike.
Don, can I have you hold your remarks? You will be first to go, and I know you have. Given you a
I'm
few.
I'm sure Don's head's ready to explode.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give Don.
No, not at all. Well, I'm fine staying calm and just presenting the facts. So
okay.
I'll hold on to those.
Okay, hold on to them and get them all ready to go, because right now we were out yesterday. Ann and I visited Moe's. We did not go over to Moe's, but hopefully we'll be back there very soon. We did visit Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and we went in and got our bakery goods and talked to owner and chief baker, Steve, and he, like all restaurant owners, are very anxious to get going, and they'll comply with whatever the new rules are about in dining in the bakery, and it may be maybe half or a quarter of the tables that normally are in there, but that's all to be worked out. Right now, they're open for you to go in, pick up your bakery goods, and depart. They're open at 6:30 in the morning, closed at 2 in the afternoon, and the bakery goods are as good as ever. Yes, I can't wait for my lunch after the show, because I've got one of those wonderful macaroons waiting for me for my dessert today. Mona's DanishBakery.com, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's, Gowrie, and Framing. Call ahead for your appointment at Moe's. You can find out everything you need to know at moesgowrie.com. We'll be right back.
Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, a family-owned and run since 1985. The doors are locked at Moe's. However, they are doing one-on-one appointments, and that's going very well. I would suggest checking out moesgallery.com. You'll have all the information right there about setting up your one-on-one appointment with Mo to take care of your framing. He's even doing kind of these virtual design sessions. So I like that. Mo thinking out of the box to keep the business alive and thriving. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, with us on one of our live lines. And Bruce Ash is on the other live line. And Don Jorgensen, you've had a few moments now to think about what Bruce was saying. Go ahead, Don.
Well, unfortunately, most of what you heard from my friend Bruce is just not true. He mentioned that and Republicans are using this line a lot, that the flu kills more people than the coronavirus. In fact, the coronavirus killed more people in 2 months than the flu did in an entire year. And those numbers are continuing to grow. Second, Democrats aren't waiting until everyone, are not saying that we should wait till everyone is tested before you open businesses up again, even though the president said, I think just in early March, everyone who wants a test can get one. That's probably going to be the lie of the year. But we recognize that's not going to happen. There's only been about 5 million tested so far, even though the White House promised over 27 million by the end of March. What the Democrats are actually doing is listening to the experts in the administration, Dr. Fauci, who came up with this plan that said once the cases are reduced state by state, and in a state you have a reduced number of cases 14 days in a row, then it's safe to start this process as long as you have all those other components as you can of testing and contact tracing and such. And the other key is to have the medical capacity to treat the possible increase in cases that'll arrive. So the Democrats are focused on the facts and on the science that come right from the White House's own primary advisor on this, and who apparently the Republicans are now ignoring. I assume they think Dr. Fauci now is part of their so-called deep state. What's interesting, too, about the testing is you look at what's happening in other countries. In Australia, they can go online to schedule their test. They drive up for that test. They get it immediately. It takes about 10 minutes, and then they get the results in about 3 days. So it's possible to do this, even in larger countries. And there are countries starting to open up now, like Australia and Germany and Austria, because they had coherent leadership with a consistent plan that took responsibility for the entire country and coordinating their work, unlike what we've seen here with the catastrophic lack of leadership and flip-flopping in the White House. So there is a process to move forward, but what the Democrats are saying is, let's use a scientific process and not one that's simply focused on what's good for the individual at the time and is based on just a wish and not a plan.
All right, here's Bruce Ash, the host of Inside Track, which airs on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Go ahead, Bruce.
Thank you, Bill. And Don, I respect and I appreciate what you've just said, but let's look at some of the information again. No nation has tested as many people as we have. We have over 5 million people that have been tested. Our rate of mortality is about 0.0003 when compared with the number of tests that have been made and the cases that are out there. The number to watch, and I think Don would probably agree about this. The number to watch is the morbidity numbers that come out of each of the states, and also not necessarily to watch the number of positive cases, because the positive cases are increasing to the levels that they are, primarily because we're doing so many tests. Just because there's been 2 million or 5 million tests, whatever the number is, it doesn't mean that, you know, those 20% that tested positive are ill. There's just a small fraction of those people who ever end up under doctor's care or inside of a hospital or worse yet, hooked up to a ventilator. Now,
Bruce, let me add to that. I'm not going to disagree. I just want to add to numbers. They're also looking at the number of hospital admissions and the number of deaths. So all those numbers are tied together in this view. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what works, what is necessary in a state like New York or New Jersey, Connecticut, is going to be necessarily different than what you have in Wyoming, Montana, Oregon, that's already long past their peak. Same thing with Washington State. And you know, we could keep detailing those states. A vast number of states around the country really can begin to open up for business. Now, what still does exist is a certain level of confidence in the general population. And I certainly can understand businesses who don't want to completely re-gear up with full staffing and all of the things that come with opening their businesses. We're seeing this in our own in our own family office, where we're dealing with our retail users primarily, who are trying to figure out how quickly and how expensive it's going to be to reopen their businesses. But certainly, we're sort of running a program, according to the Democrats, as if every state is New York, and the most populous state in the country, California, where lots of people are crammed together, just the same way they are in New York State, the morbidity as well as the percentage of the population who has actually contracted the virus with noticeable symptoms is amazingly low.
All right, Don, go ahead. You said that is not accurate. What were you referring to?
No, but what I want to do is emphasize that Bruce is giving credit to Democratic leaders. The governors of Washington, the governors of California took these strict measures early and used this plan that we've been describing. And as a result, they are able to begin opening up early because they are meeting those measures. The problem is we haven't had that kind of coherent leadership from the White House. In fact, he turned it over to the governors one day, took authority the next, turned it back over to the governors, kind of washing his hands of it. And you're seeing the governors who believe in science, who are following what's best for their constituents, for their citizens, taking these steps. And because they have, yes, Washington's able to open sooner, Oregon, California, you see the numbers coming down in those places like San Francisco, that did take the right steps early. So that's kind of proving the point that if you take this scientific approach, you can get people back to work sooner. You can get people back to living the lives the way we all want to live our lives. I don't think we're looking at a new normal because people don't want to change. This is also a human behavior experiment, and Bruce described that well. The question is, businesses will open up, but when will customers feel comfortable coming back?
And that is a key point about consumer confidence, Bruce. Quickly, we've only got about 30 seconds each for you for your final remarks.
Yeah, so in Arizona, I'm hoping that the governor will consider county by county or a zip code by zip code, and in some cases a profession by profession or business by business approach. We can open up business, gradually, systematically, make a difference and get people back earning a living. It's not just getting back to business. It's earning a living again. We can't continue. We don't have, no country has the ability to withstand the kind of pressure that would be on every family in this country if they couldn't work for several months.
All right. And the final remarks from Don Jorgensen.
Well, I hope when that happens, Ducey will actually take the advice of Bill Gates, who said that when we're planning for these reopenings, the states should focus on high-value parts of the economy, like manufacturing and construction, and figure out how to operate those. You know, that's going to have much greater return than opening up tattoo parlors, for example. So I hope as those businesses get back to work and even schools, that we still then track the efforts on the infection rates, the contact tracing, and do the things, not just open up the economy, but to keep people safe.
All right,
Don. There are no more important things than living.
Don Jorgensen, Bruce Ash, thank you, gentlemen. Stay safe. Thanks.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Call Moe and Corinne. They'll set up your one-on-one appointment, 795-8226, or on the web at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a rather hot afternoon in Tucson, Arizona, as we get ready to wrap up the month of April and welcome in the month of May, which hopefully will bring us better news. The Buckmaster Show is in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. So proud of my friends over at Green Things. Jan and Jack have ramped up their Green Lady Hydro business, and they're getting a lot of traffic because people are doing their own kind of grow your own gardens, and Green Things is the home for all of the, and they'll answer all of your questions, and they cater to the small home grower with ready-made hydro kits. They're very easy to assemble, and of course you'll need all the nutrients that go along with that. They have all the better brands, Fox Farm, Roots Organic, and Ocean Forest, all part of their inventory and their portfolio at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and of course, zocalovillage.com, which is part of the 13-acre site, all that great merchandise from Mexico, beautiful furniture. Animal shelters across the United States are emptying out thanks to the coronavirus pandemic as people confined to their homes are adopting or fostering animals in droves. The head of the Humane Society of the United States says that she's never seen anything like it. Let's find out what's going on locally, and we welcome on the live line now former state senator Steve Farley, who was recently named at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's first CEO since 2015. Hey, Steve.
Hey, great to be back on, Bill. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice and hear your nice, even-keeled approach to the news.
Thank you very much. And boy, oh boy, here you accepted a dream job. I think you came on board at the first of the year, and then we get the CV and the coronavirus going like mad, and that has really changed the animal welfare and animal advocate business probably, maybe forever. What can you tell us? How has the Humane Society of Southern Arizona adapted to what's going on?
Well, that's the key, is that we're in uncharted territory. So every business, nonprofit, for-profit, everyone has got to be figuring out what goes on next with no roadmap. And we're no exception. When we found out that we had our first case in Pima County, we knew this was going to be a big thing because we saw what happened all over the world. So we started planning immediately about what we should be doing and at what stage, what we'd need to do, what we're doing. And we had to roll back our public operations, but not completely. We are still open for adoptions, and that's been one of the real bright sides of this, is that people have really been stepping up and realizing that it's a lot more fun to hunker down when you've got a new best friend to get used to. So people have been coming in, adopting puppies, kittens, dogs that have been there, older dogs that have been there for months and months and months, have been adopted by people who have taken them into their hearts. Our staff has been phenomenal in adapting to the flexibility that is required in these kind of times. We had a full-on cleaning crew that took care of our kennels that had to stop performing their services due to COVID. So our staff now start their days cleaning kennels for 3 or 4 hours every morning. This was not their job description when they signed on, but they're doing it happily, and they understand that the opportunity to be able to have a job saving lives every day is amazing. And that's how I feel myself, being in this position right now, being able to lead even in difficult times. I'm absolutely honored and thrilled to be able to do this. The only thing frustrating to me is that I'm spending most of my time working from home now to try to avoid how much of a virus mix we bring onto the campus. So I don't get to walk around and say hi personally to everybody every day who is doing the work. But our staff are amazing. Our volunteers are amazing. We've still got volunteers coming in every day. Ideal social distancing to have a 6-foot leash and walk a dog. So they're coming in and giving those dogs good enrichment, good exercise. The cat people are coming in and giving them socialization. We're keeping to our mission and what we're planning for other big rollouts once we're able to go public again.
And you have a relatively new facility. It's pretty much a state-of-the-art facility, Steve Farley, on West Roger Road near North Oracle Road. If we were ever going to have a very bad situation, which this is, it's really nice that you were in the new quarters really before all of this started.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those of us who remember the Kelvin location, it had some character to it, you might say. Not usually a good kind of character.
No.
Our new place, thanks to the generosity of our donors that we opened up in 2018, it has light, it has air, things that really weren't in great supply over at Kelvin. An amazing place, an amazing location, a great place for animals to not be stressed out, but feel like that they're the next best thing to their forever home, which they'll discover someday. So it's been great to have people come up. I mean, our whole plan was around originally when people come in to adopt before COVID, you would go in and you would walk around the kennels and see who you like and then take them for a walk, meet them. Because we need to respect social distancing, even though we are an essential business, so we get to stay open, we went to an appointments-only model. But we have three separate locations where our adoption counselors can meet with you when you make an appointment and come in and spend all the time you need to make the right decision to bring your best friend home. So it's worked out really, really well, and I'm really happy for that. I mean, it took a little bit of adjustment in the first place. When people were a little worried at first, the adoptions were going down a little bit. But actually, since the stay-at-home order on March 30th, we have seen a dramatic increase in the number of people coming over and adopting. And I want to emphasize, it's not too late. There's plenty of animals there available for you to adopt. It's just heading into kitten season, which is a real issue around here. So if you're thinking of getting a kitten, this would be a great time to give us a call and make an appointment and come on down. Puppies are going to be coming out. There's a lot going on right now, and we still need your help. We are ready to adopt. Just give us a call at 327 6608. I better check that. I'm pretty sure it's 6608. But go to the HSSAZ.org, and you can actually see the animals we have to adopt online, and then you can call about a particular animal and come on in.
And then you set up an appointment and meet with an advisor then?
Yes, and our adoption counselors are terrific because you talk about what your situation is, your living situation, and what you're interested in, and they'll hook you up with somebody amazing. it's like a concierge dating for your pet.
You know, before you started working at home, you were trying to bring an animal into your office, and I was following your Facebook and animal of the day, your office mate. Boy, would that be fun. I'd love to have a dog or a kitty with me every day at the workplace.
Oh, I miss that so much. It's great for stress reduction, but it's especially good for the dogs, especially who are really reactive in a kennel, because a kennel isn't really a natural place, and some dogs don't react to it real well. So they end up, when somebody comes by, they charge the front and they start barking and growling. And it's not because they're a bad or vicious dog. They're just really stressed out. And I was taking some of those dogs into my office, and they would just totally relax and chill, and people would come by and they'd be so happy to see them and pet them. And you really get to see their personality come out. So I really can't wait till I'm able to be there every day again. and keep doing the same thing, because it's wonderful. And all those animals that I've brought into my office before the shutdown have been adopted during the shutdown. So it's worked.
And you've been an animal person all your life.
I have. Actually, in the late 80s, I was a volunteer animal behaviorist at the San Francisco SPCA.
Wow.
I lived in San Francisco. So my job was to help make the kind of rough behavioral issue dogs more gentle and more adoptable. And I also helped to operate a national hotline they had for people's behavior problems, or dogs' behavior problems. So I would go back a long ways with it. I've always had my own dogs in particular. And then in the legislature, I've always been a huge advocate of animal issues, and I've fought against animal cruelty. I helped to lead the fight that successfully ended the cruelty of greyhound racing in Arizona. And I was actually awarded the Humane Society of the United States Humane Legislator of the Year Award 3 times.
I did not know that. Very cool.
Yeah. So it's always been a big thing. And so when this opportunity came up, I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine a better job. And it's every single day, even at home with all the Zoom conferences I'm having. The people who are working there are amazing. The volunteers are incredible. The support we get from this community and the history of being able to really serve. And especially in this time, it's a humane society. It doesn't just serve animals. It serves people. Our
Yep.
mission is to serve pets and the people who love them. So we've been collaborating with the food bank, with the Pima Council on Aging, to get pet food to people in poverty who are isolated right now. And make sure that they don't have to choose between either giving their animal food of their own and going hungry, or not giving their animal any food at all. So we've been giving the pet food out, and we actually are going to have another pet food distribution for people who in need on the first Sunday of the month. That's May 3rd, between 8 and 10 at our location at Roger Road, just west of Oracle.
All right,
and it's been great to be able to help people who are a little down their luck right now, based on what's happening in the world, and to help their pets as well.
Let's talk some more about that after the break. And there are no people like animal people. That's what I say. Animal advocates—they are the best for sure. Steve Farley, stick around. We're going to take a break on the Buckmaster Show. Former State Senator Steve Farley, who is now the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's first CEO since 2015. Back with Steve after this in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowland Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buck Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Going to be a very hot week. Perhaps the hottest day ever recorded in April, coming up 104 perhaps on Thursday. Many of us, of course, have cabin fever, dreaming of the opportunity that we will have hopefully soon to jump in the car and go somewhere. Well, perhaps a great idea, and I think it's not a just perhaps. I know a great place would be a three-hour drive from Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a beautiful opportunity this would be to get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. The first place to go to begin your planning, southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of ideas about what to do over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and some great places to stay. We continue now with our conversation with former State Senator Steve Farley, who is now the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's CEO. How has this been a lifestyle? And I know it's been obviously a big lifestyle change from Steve, for you getting out of the public sector and into this kind of work. How has that been for you personally?
Well, I love not having to spend all that time on I-10 going back and forth to Phoenix.
That's for sure.
That is a huge increase in my quality of life. But the thing that's, given that I hadn't previously run a shelter before, I know that the board is really kind of going out on a limb to be able to hire me in this. But I think they realized that what they really needed was somebody with deep roots in the community who has a lot of experience being able to advocate for the cause. And I'm grateful for them that they chose me because it's just it feels like that it's something I've been preparing my life for. It's the connections I have with various people from having run for various offices, and my knowledge of what's happening in the legislature and what happens in the governor's office. We were actually named as an essential service in part because I knew had some contacts left over from being in legislature that I called at somebody at the State Department of Emergency and Military Affairs, so I knew was running, was recommending to the governor who would be an essential business and who wouldn't. I talked with him about how important it was for us to be able to continue to do our job during the shutdown, and he agreed, brought it to the governor, and we ended up being named in that first go-round as an essential business. So the knowledge of how the state government works can be helpful for any nonprofit to make that work, and that's been good. But more importantly, it's having sort of this well of goodwill in the community you can draw on to be able to help them support what our mission is of helping pets and the people who love them. And that's been phenomenal. I know what an amazing community this is and how much people will step up when something needs to be done. And they're doing it right now. And I've been able to make phone calls and get people focused on saving lives. And it's been tremendous. And just to be here and save those lives every day, you know, it's not always the easiest thing in the world, to be in the legislature as a Democrat. So to actually be able to get stuff done more effectively than it's possible to in the legislature has been great. And I certainly got a lot of animal behavior experience while serving in the legislature.
Can you articulate a little bit on what you've been seeing now from a distance with the legislature and the huge task that will lie ahead when you have the kind of unemployment rate and numbers we're seeing, Steve Farley?
Yeah, that's going to be a major issue. And that's why we're doing things like we're actually rolling out, we're taking advantage of the fact that we don't have a public spay neuter clinic or public vaccinations right now. We're taking that time, and our employees, our staffers in the clinic are rolling out a plan to greatly expand what we call our wellness program, where people who are low income can bring in their pets and get deeply discounted vet services so that they don't have to go bankrupt or go deeply into debt in order to make sure that their pet is doing well. So a lot of our emphasis going to the future will be helping people who are in need. This has always been a community which has had a poverty rate which is way too high. And we know that that poverty rate is going to get worse and already has gotten worse in such a short period of time. So the really good thing is that this community has a lot of heart, and there's a lot of people who are willing to support making the helping people have a better life, even when they don't have a lot of money to do that. So we've got people who are helping us with that program, and we're raising the money to be able to provide services for the pets of people who are suffering right now, so that the pets don't have to suffer along with them.
Your live release rate now is at 93%. That's pretty darn good. Last year, how are things looking right now? One third into this very strange black swan of a year, 2020.
Well, I checked that a few weeks ago, and it looked like it was between 95% and 96%.
Wow!
So we are aiming at giving every animal that comes into our shelter a chance at life and the chance at a great, happy home to live in, because they deserve no less.
So where do you go from here? People who are struggling right now, and you've seen the lines at the food bank, and we'll be talking with those folks later this week. If someone needs pet food assistance, what would your suggestion be, Steve Farley?
Well, we're collaborating with a lot of people in the community that are doing that. There's a great group called Cody's Friends, where they have people, they drive around pet food to different people, and we're bringing the Pima Council on Aging into that group as well. If you know of somebody who needs help and wants pet food to be able to distribute to someone else who needs help, or they need help themselves, please come to our pet food distribution on May 3rd. It's at Roger Road, just west of Oracle. It's 635 West Roger Road, and you go there at 8 to 10 a.m. on Sunday, May 3rd, and everyone will be wearing their masks and gloves. You can just pull right in, go through the back, you sign in at the front gate, and then you roll around. We have a little turnaround where you can pop your trunk, and people will just put what you need into the trunk, and then you can drive on by. We've got a pretty good system set up to do it. We've had a lot of generous donors from places like the Greater Good Foundation that have been working with us, and it's been wonderful to be able to help people in this way right now. And we're planning, and we haven't nailed it down yet, but we're planning in June to do a big collaboration with the food bank where they're also giving out human food at our location while we're giving out pet food.
Excellent.
Because that's the kind of collaboration we need to do, and the food bank has done a phenomenal job.
All right.
In doing that right now.
Steve Farley, congratulations on your new work with the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Appreciate it very much. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Bill. It's such an honor to serve.
Thank you very much. Steve Farley with us on the Buckmaster Show. That will wrap up the Monday edition. Back with you tomorrow at 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show. Until then, on behalf of my friend, engineer, producer, John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon.